Everyone's going to ask who the keys are for, if it's a BMW or if it's a Chevy, right? And say, oh, it's not mine. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, man, it takes me a little while to come up here after worship. Sometimes I just feel like I just want to sing, but you would not want to hear me sing, that's for sure. God is so good. You know, we're doing a series. We started a series. It's called, what we're going to title our series, Same God, Different Seasons. And so that was our title of our first message. But God spoke to me and said, that's going to be your series. That's going to be, the title of the series is going to be God, this God, same God, but different seasons. We are all going through different seasons in our life. So we're going to spend some time and be taught how to walk through seasons, know that we are always in a season, how to walk through those seasons, and to realize that everyone sitting here this morning is going through a season in their life. So you can look at your neighbor and say, oh, my neighbor's going through a season? Yes, they are. It could be a season of you're going to college. It could be a season that you just got married. It could be a season that you started a new job. It could be a season that you're an empty nester where all your kids are gone and it's just you and your wife or you and your spouse. And he's like, what do we do now? And so you could be going through a season of harvest. You could go through a season of pruning. You can go through a season of scarcity. You can go through a season of loss. There's seasons that we all go through. And so we're going to spend some time, and maybe, you know, I don't know how long God wants us to go through it, but until we get it. But I want you to know before we start that every one of us is going through a season. Your neighbor is going through a season. And Wednesday night in our prayer, the Lord spoke to me and said this, that, you know, we've been praying for unity in this church, unity in every church. But wouldn't it be awesome to know that the person you're sitting next to is actually going through a season in their life. And it's going to look different than your season. It's not going to be the same. And I really felt Wednesday night at prayer, I spoke this to the prayer people that were there, that unity, God spoke to me and said, it would be awesome to know that you took the time to find out what season your neighbor's going through. And to be able to pray for them, not answer their questions, not fix their problem. Only Jesus does that. But to get to know a church that says, hey, are you going through a season? You don't even have to tell me what it is, but I want to pray for you. Because guess what? I'm going through a season. Would you pray for me? Wouldn't that be an awesome church that we actually thought about someone else that you're sitting next to, and said, I'm going to pray for that person. Even if you don't even walk up to them and say that, it could be a stranger, but you see the faces that are here, and God's saying, pick out a face today before you leave. Pick out a face before you leave. Someone maybe you don't know. Go home and start praying for them because they're in a season. They're in a season. So I'm going to read you a story. I found this when I was getting ready here. There was a man who had four sons. He wanted his sons to learn not to judge things too quickly. So he sent them each on a quest in turn to go and look at a pear tree that was great distance away. The first son went in the winter, the second in the spring, the third in the summer, and the youngest son in the fall. When they all had gone and come back, he called them together to describe what they had seen. The first son said that the tree was ugly, bent, and twisted. The second son said, no, it was covered with green buds and full of promise. The third son disagreed. He said, it was laden with blossoms that smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful. It was the most graceful thing he had seen. The last son disagreed with them all. And he said, it was ripe and drooping with fruit, full of life and fulfillment. The man then explained to his sons that they were all right because they all had each seen but only one season in the tree's life. He told them that you cannot judge a tree or a person by only one season. And that essence of who they are and the pleasure, the joy, and love that come from that life can only be measured at the end when all the seasons are up. If you give up when it's winter, you will miss the promise of your spring, the beauty of your summer, the fulfillment of your fall. Wow. That preaches. I could go home right now. Well, but I spent too much time on this message. Think about that. Wow, are we so quick to judge people and things? So the title of my message this morning is Change, Challenges, and Champions. There's change that's going to happen. In that change, there will be challenges. But according to the Word of God, we all will become champions. You are a champion. Why? Not because how great you made it through the season, not because your talents, not because your abilities, not because of your education, not because of your finances, not because of your job. You're a champion because Jesus said you're a champion. You're a victor. You're victorious. And so we're all going through seasons in our life. We serve a God of seasons. Isn't that right from creation? God created the four seasons that are based upon the rotation of the earth as it orbits the sun. The seasons change as the earth moves, but the sun remains the same. Do you revolve around the sun, Jesus Christ? Because if you're revolving around the Son of Jesus Christ, He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I ask you the first question. In your season that you're going through, who are you revolving around? Man's wisdom? Your wisdom? Your finances? Your education? Your past history? Or are you revolving around Jesus, who is actually the creator of the season? Now, there's seasons that we go through that we actually create ourselves. Sometimes we make some mistakes. Sometimes we make decisions that maybe weren't that good. So we put ourselves in some seasons, but Jesus is still there. There's other times that we walk into seasons and, you know, you may be on a job and everything's been going good. You know God's called you there and you're prospering at your job and, you know, you're getting promotions. All of a sudden, the new boss comes and you wonder, whoa, am I supposed to be here now? Come on, we all been through that. If you haven't, thank God. We all been through where you step into a season, you step into where God has called you or God's brought you, and all of a sudden things change. God didn't change. Your season changed. God's the same. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? Aren't you glad that He's the same? He always is going to love us. He's always going to give us the grace and the mercy that we need. He is all powerful. He's King of Kings. He doesn't change. The Bible says that. So the three things I want to talk about today. In change, in challenges, we become champions, but there are seasons, there's a purpose in the season, and there's a due season. It's like, what? There's a due season. And so the first thing I want to talk about, in Daniel chapter 2, 21, just going to read a few verses. Daniel 2, 21, it says, He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Think about that. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so the first point that we want to talk about today, our destiny was created in eternity, but our life is experienced in seasons. Hey, we're all going to go through a season. In fact, you're in a season. Could be a good season. Could be a plentiful season. Could be a prosperous season. But we're in a season. Our destiny was created in eternity. Before you were even born, God already knew. God already knew you. He knew you were going to be created. He had a plan. He has a plan. Your destiny is there. God, it's not a surprise when, oh, Tom was born, and boy, that's a surprise. Now, hey, Jesus, what are we going to do with him? No. You're going to go through a season. So many times we want to skip to the next season. Come on. This message really is kind of like, it's all about me. I always tell the church, this isn't about you. This is about me. This is things that I've gone through, but I'm sure that they'll apply to you. There are many times that we want to skip a season, right? We're in a season, and it's like, oh God, please take me out of this season. I don't want to be in this season. I've done that many times. In fact, we're going to get into some of those things, what happens, and if we want to skip that season. Seasons are shaped by how we respond to them. I want you to catch that. Write it down. Seasons are shaped on how you respond to that season. Verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. It is beautiful. But do we believe and trust God that He can make something beautiful out of your season? Do you trust Him? Do you believe that to be true? That's the Word of God. Or do we wander in our season aimlessly with unbelief and doubt? How are you going to respond to the season that you're in? I'm going to give you a few things about seasons. You need to know the season that you're in. You need to know that. When you read about David's sin with Bathsheba, it says that he was in a season when kings went to war, but David stayed home. Think about that. He was in a season that kings went to war. David didn't realize his season, and he stayed home. What season could the church be in? You know, there could be a time of a season of prayer, maybe a season of fasting and prayer, maybe a season of evangelism, a season of giving. Maybe, you know, God has called us to do something and you know, a season where we're going to support more missionaries. There's seasons that the church has, whatever season God has called us to be in. And all of a sudden, are you aware of the season? Because there's blessing in that season. So can you imagine a church that we're in a season of prayer and fasting and then no one's praying and fasting? That was David. David knew the season that he should have been in, but he wasn't there. And so in 1 Chronicles 12:23, it says, the children of Issachar had an understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. So they knew the season that they were in. So, one of the things that we need to know, you need to know the season that you are in. And you need to know how to walk in that season. Second thing. Again, I'm sharing things that I've gone through in my life. Don't run ahead of God. Boy, sometimes, you know, get me out of this season, God. I think I can do a better job than what you're doing, God, in this season. And so I'm just going to bypass where I am. And Moses got ahead of God and killed an Egyptian. He tried to deliver Israel before its time. We know that. Abraham, he tried to help God's promise of a child come to pass, and he bore an Ishmael. He didn't wait. We can run ahead of God. You know, we can get ahead of God and say, God, I think I got this one. I know a quicker way to get from point A to point B, and God, you're just taking a little bit too much time. Boy, it's getting awful quiet in here. How many of us have maybe ran ahead of God? I know I have sometimes. That's okay. Guess what? You're still here to raise your hand and say, hey, I was one of those that ran ahead of God. But guess what? The mercies of God. I love this. I love God. That's why I love God. He's still merciful. The third one, Don't pray out of your season. Pray through your season. Oh. How many times have you prayed, Lord, get me out of this season? Hey, God, you're doing a pretty good job, but my time schedule is, you know, I've got to be at college. You know, my biological clock is ticking. You know, I need to get married. You know, Lord, that I want to get that house. And hey, I did this once. Well, probably more than once. When we got married, I told God, I said, okay, I only want to live in an apartment for a year, and then I want a house. I don't want to live in an apartment. You know, I'm married now, and, you know, I just don't want to live in an apartment. I want to live in a house. So I said, Lord, you know, give me that. I told you before how I made deals with God, and it never worked out. God always won, and I always lost on the deals. And so I said, God, we don't want to be in it. So we got married in November, and we bought a house 11 months later, right? 11 months later. And I think that, no, or whatever, 11 months later. So I said, all right, God, he heard my cry. He heard my, you know, what I wanted. You know, it was really it was a need, or it was a want. It wasn't a need. And so we get into the house, and I said, okay, God, since you were good on that one, now you can't let anything happen to this house, because we spent all our money on this house. I mean, literally, we had nothing left, right? And we did that. And so, Lord, now, because this is my thinking, don't think like me. I said, now that you gave me the house, if something happens, it's your fault, God. Ooh, who said that? Man, that got a roar. Don't tell God it's his fault, because he will tell you how it's not his fault. So God, you can't let anything happen to this house. The furnace can't go, you know, hot water tank can't go, the car can't, you know, has to keep on running, it has to pass. So Lord, and if it does, it's your fault. Guess what? Furnace went, hot water tank went, cars wouldn't pass inspection. The septic tank went. And then God says, hey, you want to play games with me? I put the septic tank underneath your driveway, which I didn't know. Don't make deals with God. But he's merciful. I had to dig up my driveway, not once, but twice. Don't make a deal with God. God's got it all under control. And we went through this, and I said, God, if this happens, then, you know, we're going to lose the house, and it's going to look bad for you. I was like, man, those are years that if I look back, I was like, how crazy were you? Like, did you really, God must have looked at me and says, do you really know who I am? And so I'm sparing you that. But God blessed us. You know, we came up with the money, we fixed everything, and I never made any more deals with God. I allowed God to make a deal with me. Well, he did make a deal with me. He gave me Jesus, and he gave you Jesus. That was the best deal ever. That's all I need. That's all you need. So, Jesus, when we're in that season, don't pray out of the season, pray through the season. Jesus, where are you in this season, and how do we co-labor together? That's all Jesus is saying. You know, this is done by co-laboring with Jesus. Do we believe God? Do we trust God? Is his grace sufficient for us in the season? Do you know that he is working in the season? Don't pray the season away. Now, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about things like that. God does not give us sickness. You have sickness in your body, we prayed this morning. You pray to be healed and receive the healing that God has already paid the price for. I'm not talking about things like that. You don't sit there and wait in a season, okay, God, I guess you gave me a sickness to increase my faith. Some of you may not believe that, but God does not give me a sickness to increase my faith. Because if he gives me a sickness to increase my faith, then why do I go pray for healing? I'll just let God take his time and with my sickness until he's done. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're all in different seasons. But pray through the season. Pray through the season. When Jesus knew his time had come up, the appointed time, he's in the garden, he's praying, and he's saying three times, he says, Lord, you know, if if it's possible, he says, that's what the words, if it's possible, but not my will, your will, God. He's praying through the season. You know, Daniel, the story of Daniel, chapter 6, what a great story. You know, he's in captivity. The Israelites are taken into captivity in Babylon, and Daniel now is raised up to third in command in Babylon. But he's never rejected his God. And so the government officials saw that he never rejected God, and now he's placed three in the third of command, and they want to get rid of Daniel now. Read chapter 6. They want to get rid of Daniel. And it says, the only thing we can find fault with Daniel with, read it, he says, if he breaks the law of his God, because he is such in tune to his God. So we're going to make a decree that says you cannot pray for 30 days to anybody else but the king. That'll get Daniel, because that's going to go against his law. What does Daniel do? He goes to his house, he opens up the windows and starts praying three times a day. He's praying through his season. He didn't pray, Lord, you know, get rid of the king, kill the king, kill the decree, do this. No, he's praying to his God. And so he's, you know, the story, he's thrown in the lion's den, and then all of a sudden the king is all upset. Why did it happen, you know? And he goes to the lion's den in the morning, and he says, did your God save you? And he goes, don't worry about it. He saved me. He shut the mouths of the lions. It's okay. He prayed through his season. He didn't say, Lord, get me out. Read all of Paul's letters. Most of them are written in prison. He wasn't praying out of his prison. He's getting prisoners and jailers saved. Praying through the season you're in. Next one, delay is not defeat. Delay is not defeat. Story of Joseph. We know that story. God gives him a dream that his family's all going to bow to him. Well, that didn't go over very big. His brothers threw him in a pit. He's sold into slavery. He's falsely accused, and he's put in prison. Oh, that was a great dream. Wow, thank you, Lord, for that dream. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the dream. Many years later, he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. There's a famine in the land, and his entire family has to come back. And you know the story, he saves his entire family and a nation. Why? Because delay is not defeat. He prayed through the season. Delay was not defeat. And what's Joseph's famous quote in the Bible? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, and they are today. Wow. Delay is not defeat. Here's another good one that I had to learn, and am still learning this. What we say about our season determines how we will experience that season. Think about that. What you say about your season determines how you experience that season. Look at Israel. Man, when they left Egypt, what did they do? They grumbled and complained. Hey, I want to go back to Egypt. Oh, man, we had the cucumbers, the figs, the grapes, and we we had all these great things, and you were in slavery. You were building bricks. You were being beaten. They grumbled and complained. A two-week journey took 40 years. One bad attitude after another, and the one bad experience after another. If you speak about your season like it's overwhelming, it will become overwhelming. If you speak about your season that it's devastating, it will become devastating. If you speak of your season as negativity, it will be negative. Think about it. How do you speak to your season? I never thought about it that way. I'm always catching my words, you know, like, I don't say things, I try not to say things anymore, that, you know, you don't, I'm going to say this, you know, be careful how you say, oh, this is killing me. Where's that going? Is that what you want to really say? Oh, that's no good. Oh, I wish that wouldn't happen. Or, you know, it's constantly be careful. So now, when you're in a season, be careful how you speak to that season. If you speak about a season as growth, you will see yourself growing in it. If you speak of God's promises and faithfulness in your season, your eyes will be open to His faithfulness. Come on. How many times we looked at our season and it became like, ugh, I hate the season. It's ugly. It's no good. Look what's happening. Look what it did to me. Look what it did to her. Look what it did to us. And well, I'll never prosper and I'm never going to get better. And I was like that. I complained and looked at everything negative. You know how they say the glass is either half full or half empty? I got to a point where I didn't even have a glass. The glass didn't even exist. I was so angry with God. Who else am I going to be angry with? I'm not going to be angry with myself, because then I would be like, whoa, like, I think I have the problem. I don't have the problem. Everyone else has the problem. And even God came into the problem. He's the problem. Man, I'm only standing here. Thank God, Calvary Gospel, thank God that the God that you serve is a merciful God. Because that's why your pastor's standing here. And really, that's why you're sitting here. But come on, be careful how you speak to your season. Second thing is purpose in the season. Oh, here we go. You mean, God, you have a purpose for this? I just thought you didn't like me. You mean, you actually have something going on in this season? Yeah, I do. He says, whenever God gives you a fresh word, you've just stepped into a new season. And there's a purpose for that season. Oh. Soon as God says to you, hey, Kirill, I got something good for you. You better buckle up. He just gave you a fresh word. He just gave you a fresh word. So I'm telling you right now, mark it down. When you hear God speak, buckle up. He's going to put you in a season that is going to be awesome. Why? Because every season, God is glorified in it through you. Every season. There is not one season that God doesn't walk you through that He will not be glorified in, because that's the only reason He's going to do that. Not for you to be glorified. You just get the benefit of what an awesome God we serve. So I'm telling you, words of wisdom. Don't try to fix your own problem. Here's another word of wisdom. When the plan looks like it's all going to work out and it's just the way you thought it was going to work, turn around and run as fast as you can the other way. Because it is not going to work if you devised it. Hang in there. Come on, this is so important to grab. So when God spoke to Abram, He says, go from your country, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And then what does He say? He says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Oh, it's all about God. It's not about Abram at the time. God spoke to Joshua. Hey, Joshua, guess what? Moses, your servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, you go take them into the promised land that I am giving you, and I will be with you. Hey, Joshua, it's not about you. It's about me. How about when He spoke to Noah? Hey, Noah, build a boat and build a big boat. And it's never rained. And it's going to take you 120 years. But read the verse. The flood is coming. I'm starting over. But then this is what He says. I will establish my covenant with you, Noah. He didn't leave Noah hanging. That word covenant means I'm going to establish my alliance with you. I'm with you. I'm with you, Noah. God spoke to Joseph. Do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then he says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He just didn't say, oh, Mary is pregnant with the Holy Spirit, and now I'm going to let you guys figure this out. God does not put you in a season for you to figure it out. He puts you in a season to come close to God, hear his voice, do what God's called you to do, go through the destiny that God's called you to go through. He is going to take care of you. When Jesus called Peter, he says, come and follow me. And then he says, I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, come and follow me and figure it out. I will make you. Jesus was going to make something out of each one of them that wasn't there before. Jesus is going to make something out of you that wasn't there before in your season. In our season, God wants us, he wants to shape us. He's created us into the image of his son. He's showing us what a good, good father he is. He's growing our character. He's trying to capture our heart and our faith. That's what the seasons are all about. God is more interested in what we become than what we do. God is more interested in what we become than what we do. He's trying to make us into the image of his son. He's not trying to give you a promotion. He's not trying to make you look good. He's creating you like his son. That's so important. There are seasons we didn't want to go through. There's seasons that I didn't want to go through. But man, what lessons I learned through those seasons and walking with Jesus. A rough season doesn't mean God is finished with you. A rough season means he's still with you. Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, Jesus Christ. Wow. It's not just any old work, but it's a good work. You've just stepped into a new season. You've just stepped into a new season. It's a good work. It's a good work. Here's another one. God will change the season of life we are in when he's ready to change something about us. Oh. Ooh. You're in a new season? He wants to do something in you. God will change the seasons of our life when he's ready to change something about us. Wow. It's okay. It's okay. He loves you so much, he's going to change your seasons because he just wants you to grow and look more like Jesus. And the last point, I didn't realize this, I would take seasons and make it one big pile. But there's a due season, the Bible says. In Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall. And it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Due season. There is an end to each season. It's the appointed time. And I like how, you know, it was written, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. God will speak very clearly to you in the end. And it will not lie. Wow, those are just like, think about the, you need to read that. You need to underline that in your Bible. You need to take a picture of it. You need to do something. Because in the season that you're in, it's not just one pile of mess. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and yet there's an end, and it won't lie. Though it tarries, there's the seasons where it's delays aren't defeat. Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, because it's surely going to come, and it won't tarry. I always try to figure out what that was. That means it's going to come like a flash of lightning. The end will come. Appointed time. It happens at the time that was decided in advance. That's what that word appointed means. It's the time that was decided in advance. Who decides that in advance? Jesus. Jesus. He's already decided when it is. Co-labor with him. Work with him. Everyone has a due season. Listen, don't confuse your current season with your due season. There is an end. There's an appointed time. I'm going to read that again. Don't confuse your season that you're in with the due season. Your due season is your season of destiny and fulfillment. Think about that. It's your season of destiny and fulfillment. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Come on, church, don't give up. Don't give up. We've given you some, God has given us some things to think about. Here's four takeaways. In each season, embrace the change. Man, you have to embrace it. You got to stop running from it. You got to stop running ahead of it. You got to stop running around it. You got to stop being in the season and talking the negativity. Embrace the change. Why? Embrace God in it, his character, his love, his peace, his compassion, his joy, his long-suffering, his faithfulness, his kindness. Embrace it. You're embracing God. When you're in that season, you're not so much embracing the season, you're embracing the change because God is in the change. He's in the change. Two, choose faith over frustration. Don't get frustrated with your season. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith it. Faith it. Come on, faith it. Don't get frustrated. You're not just making this up. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6, read it. Third one, God is in control and we are not. God is in control, I'm going to read that slow, and we are not. It's a posture of surrender. It's a posture of freedom. I never thought about it this way. See, we don't think freedom is surrender. We think surrender is being taken captive. That's how we, whenever you hear, oh, I surrendered and they took me captive. I surrendered and I was put in prison. I surrender. No. When you surrender to Jesus, you become free. Who the Son sets free, you are free indeed. You're going through a season. There's a change going on in your life. God is in control. We are not. Get into a posture of surrender. Because that's where freedom comes. It doesn't come in any other way but surrender to Jesus. And the last one. Stand in awe of him. It's like, oh. Ah, he loved us so much. When we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for you and I. He took the penalty of sin. Why would he do that? Because he wants a relationship with you and I. That's why he did that. No one else has done that but Jesus. Stand in awe. Sometimes you have to just wake up in the morning and go, oh, Jesus. When you go to bed at night, oh, Jesus. But if it wasn't for you, you are awesome. There's no God like you. How many times have we stood in awe of Jesus? Think about it. I just want you to think about that. In our fast-paced world, do we just stand in awe? The one that created everything and created you and I loved us so much. I always say this, he bankrupted heaven. He gave everything that heaven had, and he gave it to you and I. He gave it to you and I. If you can't stand in awe of that, oh, Jesus, you're awesome. You're awesome. Church, we're going to go through seasons. Hopefully, you'll take some of this and hopefully you write it down. It's like, man, maybe you're in the delay stage. It's not defeat. Maybe you're in the prayer stage. It's like you're trying to pray out of it and God's saying, pray through it. I'm with you. But I want you to really understand this, because as a church, can you imagine a whole church understanding the season that they're in? And a whole church coming unified to say, now remember, I didn't have this planned at the very beginning, but I want you to visualize a person's face before you leave, preferably somebody you don't know. Because if you look at your brother or your sister or your uncle or your aunt, you know kind of things that they're going through. Hey, pick a face you don't know. There may be someone new here today. Pick his or her face and just say, Lord, I have no clue what that person's going through, but guess what? I know they're going through a season. Help them walk through their season. Help them to see Jesus. Help them to see you. Lord, give them the wisdom of Christ. Lord, let them understand how much you love them. Let them understand how much you care for them. Lord, let them understand that you're with them. Lord, let them know that you're the great shepherd. Lord, let them know that you will always provide for them. Lord, let them know that you're the reconciler. You reconcile relationships. Lord, take someone's face, bring it home with you. If a church did that, that is unity. You can pray for unity all you want. But if you can't look at a stranger here in this building and say, I'm going to go spend 5 minutes and pray for that person, it's not much unity. Come on, let's be honest. We love people that love us. We have a hard time loving people that don't love us or we don't know them. You want to pray for a church that has unification and unity? Take a person's face home with you and say, Lord, they're going through a season just like I'm going through. And Lord, put my face on someone's heart today that they would stand in the gap for me. Hallelujah. That's what's going to change this world. That's what's going to change this church. That's what's going to change our city. This right here. Because everyone out there is going through the same thing you're going through, and you're going to be able to help them walk through their season. Let's stand and pray. Hallelujah. Oh God, you are such an awesome God. Awesome God. Come on, let's just pray. Let's just thank God. Sometimes we become very quiet at the end. Maybe you're just exhausted from hearing me talk, which could be true. But come on, let's just pray. Let's just thank Him. Lord, you're an awesome God. Lord, you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. We love you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you that going through seasons is not something we run from, but we run into and we walk with you through it because we know, God, that you're in control of that season. Your hand is upon me. Your hand is upon us. And Lord God, you're doing great things. You're doing great things. You're doing great things in this church. You're doing great things in the people here. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that God, that people would take that picture of someone's face, take it home with them, and start getting on their knees or in their car and just their comfortable couch and sit there and say, Lord, I see that face of that person at Calvary. Lord, I pray, Lord, that in their season, because they're going through something, big or small, Lord, that you would walk with them. Intercede for that person. Lord, you're looking for unity all the time. What more unification could that be than a church praying for each other, even though we don't even know who that person is? Oh, God, humble our hearts to a place that we find out more and more of you. We thank you, Father. You're a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for allowing us to come together and worship you this morning. Thank you for everyone here. Bring blessings. Give them favor. Lord, touch the hearts of this church. And if there's someone here that's never received you, Lord, we gave opportunity in the middle of worship just to receive you for the first time. And we thank you for that. You're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hey, greet someone you don't know. Come downstairs and fellowship with us. And it's so good to see everybody this morning.